Think back to when you were an elementary student and your teacher says, "Okay, class, today we are going to be learning about fractions." How are you feeling? If you are anything like me, you are filled with dread because fractions just didn't make sense back then. The concept of fractions is so difficult for kids to grasp because it is a lot of times presented in an abstract way. My guest today is Enrica Maniti from Matamaths, and she is giving us so many great tips for teaching fractions to upper elementary students. Plus, she has an amazing Italian accent. Be sure you stay tuned for this conversation. You won't want to miss it. I am excited to let you know that I am hosting a free online event called Math Madness for upper elementary math teachers. If you are listening to this before March 27th, 2024, you still have time to register to get access to tons of free resources, insider details about exclusive sales, and chances to win prizes in our free Facebook group. If you are not already a member of the Facebook group, now is the time to join, because not only will there be prize giveaways happening in there throughout the event, but I will also be posting updates about the event directly to the group members. You can join by searching Upper Elementary Simplified on Facebook or by clicking the link in the show notes and requesting to join that way. Either way, we would love to have you. Registration for Math Madness will be open from February 18th through March 26th. To get registered for the event, head to teachertechstudio.com/register, and that's R-E-G-I-S-T-E-R. I will also link that in the show notes for you. You can find that link by going to the episode description in your podcast player app or by heading to upperelementarysimplified.com/podcast. I hope to see you there. Welcome to Upper Elementary Simplified, the podcast where busy and overwhelmed teachers find thoughtful ideas to get students engaged in meaningful learning experiences. Hi, I'm Dana Rodebush, former fifth grade classroom teacher and founder of Teacher Tech Studio. I'm here to share practical tips and strategies that will help you grow as an educator. If you are a tired upper elementary teacher searching for ways to cut down your planning time while boosting student engagement, you are in the right spot. Are you ready? Let's simplify. Enrica is an Italian math teacher. She has been teaching math since 2002. That and her passion for technology led her to try to find a way to use digital learning a long time before COVID. She believes that education in mathematics is that of injecting into the students the true passion for what is considered to be a universal language, a scientific technique, but also to make them appreciate it for what it is. Let's welcome Enrica to the show. Enrica, welcome to the show. Please tell my audience a little bit about you and how you serve the education community.
Hi, and thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I think you already said almost everything about me. I'm Italian, so my English is not perfect, obviously. But as I always say to my kids, my English is not perfect, my math is. So I need to follow my instruction, even with a funny accent. Even if, you know, I'm in Italy, I teach in an international school, but I'm still in Italy and the vast majority of my students is Italian. I've got a couple of Americans or English or whatever, but normally we are all Italian. So it's kind of easy for me, you know, to teach, even if my English is what it is. And what else? I've been teaching. My degree is not in math or physics. I have a degree in civil engineering, but I really discovered a true passion. I was working as a designer, a high street designer, but I discovered this passion for teaching, and then I left my job and I started teaching with everything that it's not exactly like in the US, but it's very similar. So it was a big decision, but I don't regret it. I love teaching, I love being with the kids, and I love everything that is related. Mostly what I do love the most is creating these digital activities to see kids excited to work with it and to learn while they're playing, while they're happy. My classes are always chatty because I love to see them interact and to interact with me. You will never find a silent class with me in it. I can't help it.
I
And
love that. That is
this.
funny. Yes, that is so funny. And I am super excited to speak with you today. We've just been chatting on email for the past few months, and so I'm excited to actually get to chat with you. And so, I know that you are still in the classroom, and you said that you teach high school math right now, but you do have a lot of resources for upper elementary students. So that's kind of what we're going to dive into today. So that's really good. So what activities have you found to be most effective in building a solid conceptual understanding of fractions for upper elementary students? And how do you approach this challenge?
Oh, fractions is one of the most difficult, topic to approach with upper elementary students. But what I don't do, I don't let them kids, now it's really common to have kids study a topic and try to come up with a theory before explaining it. I tried once and I spent the rest of the year trying to dismantle all these theories that they come up with because they are, little kids are amazing. They are energetic. They have a lot of idea. They are like, brilliant in a way, but they come up with unbelievable theories. And when they start with that, they believe in it. So it's really difficult to come back and dismantle everything and recreate a solid foundation. So I decided that was a bad experiment and I would have never done it anymore. What I do, I come in class with chocolate, with pizza. We are in Italia. So
I
in
love
Italy,
it.
sorry, stuff like that, and I start cutting and dividing and giving the kids. You've got a half, you've got a fourth, and they already have this concept inside. So we, in a way, we transfer this concept from something that is really practical to something that is a little more theoretical. Plus, we also have this thing that in Italy we don't use mixed number. We have proper fractions and improper fractions. Mixed number is something that we really don't use a lot. I do because of my background, but so if you have a pizza and a half, what is it? I think that it is the most effective way to teach them. And then when it comes, some kids are brilliant and they immediately understand the topic and they need really few words from you and everything is clear in their minds. Other kids need more time, then you have special needs kids and whatever. And so what I do is, as I said, I create these digital activities because what I love the most is that they can work at their own pace. Firstly, and this is really important. And then, if you have a pixel art miss, why doesn't it color? Because there is a mistake. Let's go through this again and try to fix the mistake. And I can help a kid exactly when he or she needs it, not like a whole class where I have the brilliant one who is bored and the one who has more difficult who doesn't understand. In this way, I can go with everyone and I can help everyone as they need it. And if a kid is, we always talk about special needs, but I feel what I really feel is that special need goes both ways. So I have to help the kid who has difficulties understanding, but I also have to help the kid who is really brilliant not to get bored and not to, in a way, I feel like they are dying the class because they already know stuff. So if a kid is really brilliant and doesn't need that type of exercise because he does it in 5 minutes, I have a more difficult, a more challenging problem ready, and he can work through that, or she can work through that. And it helps them because they feel they are doing something more, or sometimes they love help each other. So did you finish yet? So help your classmate, help your friend, try explaining it to them. Something else that I do is I'm the teacher. So if someone feels like it, I let them teach class. But after I taught it, after they already know the topic, because I will never make that mistake again.
I love how you say, I will never make that mistake again. That's funny.
Yeah. We all
That is
learn
funny.
from our
Yeah,
mistakes.
exactly. And I totally agree with you. And I love your philosophy about always being prepared with that enrichment for those kiddos that are, a little bit higher and finish quickly the concept that you're teaching and that you have that available for them. So I think that that is really awesome. So you talked a little bit about this with real world applications, but talk a little bit more about how you incorporate real world applications when you're teaching fractions to upper elementary
So
students.
I have nearby my school, there is a park where we go sometimes for recess and stuff like that. And what I do is with the PE teacher, we organize races. But organizing races, we need to find, normally they run here and there, but they need to find the path. So the path is 3/4 of the park. So they have to calculate exactly, or things like that, something easy, or use fractions to cut pies or pizza or whatever, to divide it evenly for all the kids in the class. And since they are normally 20, 22, they really have little slices of whatever, but they start understand that there is a connection between what we do in class and the world outside. I don't need big things. I just need them to realize that it's not only theory. If we talk about calculus and limits and stuff like that, I can say, okay, this is theoretic and maybe physics, but nothing more. When we talk about fractions, decimals, or negative numbers, it's something that it's easy to relate to the world that is around us, so we can do that.
I love that because that's so true. That's so true. And a lot of times kids don't realize that. They, you
Yeah.
get that question all the time. When am I ever going to use this? They don't realize it that math is everywhere. But I love that you made that distinction between theoretical and actual
Yeah.
concrete math concepts. That's really, really good. So, do you have any strategies that you have used to identify and address common misconceptions that students may have about fractions? And how do you clear those misunderstandings while helping students gain a deep understanding of fraction concepts?
Oh, if I can, and whenever I can, I do counterexample. I think you say counterexample. Sometimes I make up words, don't
No,
forgive me.
that's good. I
Because,
love it. Counter example. Yes, I love it.
if a kid's, I don't know, fractions with unlike denominators, he adds up or she adds up numerator and denominator. Then I give an example and they show them that is wrong. So this way helps them understand. And normally, if I can, I draw ugly stuff to the whiteboard because I'm really bad. My drawing are awful and they remember everything because
Exactly,
of that,
yes.
you know. Well, once I draw a turtle, I don't remember why, and they were so excited about this ugly turtle, you know. But
That's
they,
funny.
after that, they remember what I was saying. So if I can, I try to add some, you know, some spice to the concept. And I simply say, okay, if someone says something that is completely wrong, I don't answer, it's wrong. I answer, interesting. Let's see if it works or not. And after saying that, I try to work an example using the theory that they come up to with, and you know, I show them that it's wrong. And so that helps because they feel like they are listened. You know, I don't say it's wrong, you have to do it this way. I try to show them whenever I can. Sometimes it's impossible, but if I can, I try to show them that it's wrong because it doesn't work, not because I say so. And that's all. Yeah, I think so. At least I hope
I
so.
love that. I love that because, I mean, honestly, the best way to learn anything is through experience. So if you are seeing, if you know, if you think something and you see that it doesn't work, then you're more compelled to figure out why it doesn't work and come up with a better solution. So I love that. I think that's great. So how do you differentiate fraction instruction to meet the needs in a diverse classroom? Have you found any resources or strategies that have been helpful?
Oh, yeah, I told you, I tried to give them as little instruction as I can. So I just give them the basics and then we work through examples, through exercises and stuff like that. And I try using all this technology that a lot of people I know don't like. I personally do, but I always have an handout to give them so they can write down the problem, and the technology part is a way to be rewarded because it's always an escape room or a pixel art or a game, a hidden message or something like that. And it's a way for them to see if they did it right. You know, sometimes if you call a kid to the whiteboard and ask him or her to do the exercise, some of them are shy and they don't feel confident working in front of the class. They feel judged. Or, and if you give them something that they can check by themselves, it's easier for them. They feel more confident, they feel less stressed. And I found that works, you know. Or at least it works with me. It's who I am. And kids know that, you know, they see me very excited about a game or something like that. They see me energetic about, oh, let's do this, let's do that. And I have a new escape room for you. And they are all like, yeah. And they're happy. And I am too.
Absolutely. I think anytime that we can turn learning into a game or a puzzle or anything like that, that it's like instantly just more engaging, obviously, for students and just more of a good experience, you know, a meaningful experience for them. So, how do you assess student proficiency with fraction concepts?
Lately, I'm really obsessed with micro learning. That is a theory that I think it's quite new, that says that give them little instructions, little part. Don't wait to cover all everything about fractions and then assess them, but every little piece has to be assessed. So I have all these little tests, exit ticket, or depends how it works for me. And after I did like comparing fraction, okay, let's do a test about comparing fractions, few questions, and I assess them. So this way I can see really where the problem is. If a kid doesn't understand comparing fractions more than adding or subtracting or whatever, and it helps me and it helps them because they have less to do. And again, I think, and from what I see, it seems so, that is less stressful. If I give them the topic fractions, in a test, it's really a lot. They have a lot of things to remember to go through, and they start being stressed and they don't remember, and and they make it's so easy to make mistakes in math. And I try to help them in this way. So that's it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree with you about assessing skill, each skill individually like that. I'm very big about assessing a skill and then deciding if that student needs intervention, and then using spiral reviews. So I'm very big about that. So I totally agree with that. I love that. So what advice do you have for teachers as they are struggling to build that solid foundation with fraction concepts?
I think don't give up. Kids really feel if you really care and or if you give up and you do only because it's a job. I think that the most important thing that we can do with fractions, but with everything education related, is to show them that we care. Don't lie, there are kids that will never be really math geniuses because they aren't, it's not who they are. Maybe they are great, they write poems, or they are good with, I don't know, foreign languages or other things. So don't lie to them and say, like, you can be the new Einstein, or just tell them you can get there. You can get where we need it. You have to be there. You have to learn something, and then your life will be something else. And it's okay. You don't need to be a genius. You just need to get there. And sometimes even that helps because they feel again less stress about it. They think, okay, I just need to learn the most simple things, and that's okay, and I can do that. But if I want a kid to learn everything and to have an A plus in everything, they will struggle because it's I can't draw, and I'm awful with geography. I know that. I love math. Not everybody is good at everything. So we
Exactly.
need to accept that, and we need to learn how to teach them to accept that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for a lot of kids, teachers are the only positive force that they have in their lives at that time. So that I agree with that. That's super important to be that positive impact on them. So you also have a free scavenger hunt available for listeners if they are interested in an activity to help their students master fractions. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
It's something that I find to be really effective in the classroom because it's a kid have to do all the steps. Every steps is coded. I don't know how to say in a different way. And if a kid do every step correctly, they will get a virtual badge for every single. I think it's addition with fractions. With unlike denominators, and they have to find the common denominator. They have to do everything and to write down everything. And if it's wrong, it becomes red, so they can see immediately that something doesn't work. And so it really helps them at the beginning when they start working with fractions, I think.
I love that. Yeah. So I will definitely link that in the show notes for listeners to grab it there. That's great. Thank you for that. So please go ahead and tell my audience where they can find you if they want to connect with you.
I have a website, not really beautiful, but I'm working on it. That is mathematz.com. And I have a TPT store, and that is again mathematz. And obviously, I have boon cards. Being so in love with technology, I couldn't not have. Again, it's mathematz. I'm mathematz everywhere. So.
I love it. I love it. And I will link all of that in the show notes as well for listeners to go and find you. Enrica will also be a part of Math Madness, which is coming up in just a few weeks. So I'm excited to have her join us there. Enrica, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate
Thank
you,
you.
and I have enjoyed speaking with you.
I enjoyed it a lot. It was really my pleasure. Thank you for
Thank you
having
for
me.
thank you. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Upper Elementary Simplified. I hope you are able to take away something useful that will help you grow as a teacher. I do have a quick favor to ask before you go. If you are enjoying the podcast, please let me know by leaving me a review. It really does make a difference because reviews impact search results, which helps me to expand my reach to other educators. Plus, I love to read my listeners' comments. Until next time, keep life simple.